This is the Bangkok Conference 2023, the Manifestation of Eternal Life, Message 5. Verses of 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, James 5, verses 7 through 9, Hebrews 10, verse 37, 1 Peter 4, verse 7, 2 Peter 3, verses 12 through 14, Jude, verses 14 and 15, Philippians 4, verse 5, Revelation 22, 7, 12, and 20. May the Lord come quickly. It's almost the last verse in the entire Bible. That's verse 20 in Revelation 22. He who testifies of these things says, "Surely I am coming quickly." Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Thank the Lord. I don't know what I should say. The entire Bible shows us the gospel is not just about the first coming of the Lord, but much more, he's coming again. Tell me, is this first coming important or the second coming more important? The second coming is more important, truly so? How come everybody's talking about the first coming of the Lord Jesus and nobody talks about the second coming of the Lord Jesus? And now, why do you say that the second coming is more important? Is the first coming important or the second one? Tell me. Of course, his second coming is more important. His first coming was to accomplish redemption, and it was done. But his second coming is very important. Hebrews chapter 9, the last verse also says that the first time he came was to bear the sins of many, but he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. The second time, his coming, is also a kind of salvation, but this salvation is not to save you from your sins. There comes judgment in his second coming. The second coming is to lead us into his kingdom. Now, today, it depends on whether you're being saved to the uttermost. If you're barely saved, born again, and you do not grow and reach maturity, then for the second coming, for the entrance into the kingdom, would you be qualified to go in? You have to ask yourself, if the Lord is coming again, are all the Christians going to enter into the millennial kingdom? That all the Christians would go in? No. Does Matthew chapter 25 not tell us that there are 10 virgins? They are all saved. People that are not saved cannot be virgins. It's not a question of whether you're saved or not, but it's a question of whether you're prudent or not. The wise ones, the prudent ones, are buying oil every day. They're like Paul, wanting to gain Christ every day. And they want to know Christ more. That is why we need to mature. We should not be babes in Christ. If our spiritual life does not grow, then when the Lord comes the second time, we'll be in trouble. But most Christians would say, no problem, everybody's going to enter in. This is the word of the Antichrist. The Lord Jesus says, I am coming quickly, and I will be bringing my reward with me. And what does the Antichrist say? What does Antichrist teach you? That's okay. You're saved. Everybody can enter in. Tell me, isn't this of the Antichrist or not? The Antichrist is not telling you not to believe in the Lord. So he agreed with you for the first part, but for the second part, he doesn't want you to enter in. The enemy cannot make you not believe in the Lord. Now, since you are already a believer, he cannot hinder you from being a believer in the Lord, yet he does not want you to enter into the kingdom. The Lord Jesus, our God, saved us with a purpose, with a goal for us to enter into the kingdom. He wants to set up his kingdom on this earth. Besides, he wants to regain the entire earth back from Satan, because the whole world lies in the hand of Satan right now. Oh, Lord Jesus. The Lord needs his church today on this earth to be his kingdom, to defeat Satan and regain this earth. He wants to bring down his kingdom to the earth. You all know the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father who art in heaven. Oh, thank you, Father, for saving me. Is it like this? Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's no problem in heaven, but there are lots of problems on this earth. Lots of problems. It's not only referring to the unbelievers on this earth, referring to the nations. We Christians, don't we also have a lot of problems? Do you have problems? Just a little? Oh, terrible. That's why, brothers and sisters, today the brother was asking about the gospel of the kingdom. This is very important. Do not think that it's only some knowledge. This is very real, very practical. You know, in the Old Testament, God saved the children of Israel out of Egypt. For what purpose? Oh, you would say he wants to bring them into the good land. What were they going to do in the good land? To be God's kingdom. God wants to establish his kingdom on this earth. You have to see this clearly. Oh, thank the Lord, we came out of Egypt. That is why you should not love the world, because if you love the world, you're just remaining in Egypt. If you came out of Egypt and you still love Egypt, what's the problem? Well, that's a problem of the Israelites at that time. They came out of Egypt. Oh, they had everything in Egypt. They had lots of good things to eat and lots of enjoyment. Then they remembered all the things that they enjoyed in Egypt. Oh, the food. They thought of the garlic in Egypt. There's nothing in the wilderness at all. So God says, that's fine, then I'll give you manna daily. In the beginning it was still okay. But when you eat it, the same thing every day, they got bored. They didn't want to eat it anymore. Aren't we like this? Do you love the world? But God's goal is not only to save them out of Egypt. God's goal, God's purpose, is to build up his kingdom, set up his kingdom. That is why all the way when they were coming out of Egypt, they were fighting all the way. They were in battle all the way. This shows us that what God wants is to have a holy nation, a special people, a kingdom of priests. He wants to be the king. Through the nation of Israel, to rule over all the nations. Tell me, isn't the goal in the New Testament the same? In those days, in the Old Testament, it was the earthly kingdom. Today, it's the heavenly kingdom. But we don't understand. What are we building today? Building the meetings? Giving messages? Singing hymns? And preach some gospel? And come to the meeting on the Lord's Day? And eat together? That's it. Each week, each year, you repeat the same thing. Now let me ask you, where is the kingdom? Or you're too busy doing business, too busy going to work, too busy with your family life, too busy making money. Where is the kingdom? We're not fighting against Satan. But we're fighting against our brothers. I fight against you and you fight against me. Tell me, is that a good thing? Now tell me, there is a civil war in the kingdom. There's a civil, there is a lot of trouble within the country. There's the Democratic Party, and then the Republican Party. Huh? What is happening to the U.S.? Oh, the U.S. as a nation is almost gone. We do not have the concept of the kingdom. That is why the first gospel, the gospel of Matthew, is the gospel of the kingdom. The first gospel is that you have to repent, because if you sin, you're going to go to hell. Is that what it is about? No. It's repent, because the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, not that hell is at hand. Now, be honest. In your heart, do you really feel that the kingdom of heaven is near, is at hand? Now, if we really feel that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, what are you going to do? Are you still going to be a slowpoke? Are you just continue to have meetings, etc.? But you do not have the spirit of fighting. We love to read the book of Ephesians, right? Don't you like the book of Ephesians? Oh, the church is a body of Christ. The church is a bride of Christ and a household of God, Christ. What else? What is the last chapter about? There's a warfare. But if our spiritual life has not grown, there's so many denominations and you're just fighting against one another. Tell me, what warfare are you in? At home, husband and wife are fighting with each other. Is that a good thing? Paul said, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against the principalities and powers, the powers of darkness in the heavenly places. We're in battle today. Do we do this? That is why the kingdom is very important. The second time that the Lord comes, he is not going to be despised by man and be nailed to the cross once more, but he is going to come as a King of Kings. He is coming to be the King. But he doesn't want to be king himself. He wants us to be co-kings with him. Have you not read the seven epistles to the seven churches in the book of Revelation? To the church in Thyatira, he said, he who overcomes, you're going to heaven? I will give him authority to rule over the nations with an iron rod. It's not to rule over the brothers and sisters. They'll be ruling with an iron rod. And towards the church in Laodicea, he said that he who overcomes will sit with me on my throne. Just as I have overcome and I'm seated with my Father on his throne. Many people say, I want to go to heaven. What are you going to be doing in heaven? You want to rule over the angels? Do the angels need your rule? So when the Lord Jesus comes the second time, he will be very glorious. Are we well prepared? Are we prepared to welcome the Lord's coming? We all think that, oh, we're going to be raptured. You'll be very happy. You'll be up there and not down here. But you still have to come back down to rule over the nations. We all need to have such a glorious hope. I want to be a co-king with Christ to rule over the nations. Actually, in the Old Testament, in Psalm 8, it already says, even in Genesis chapter 1, the Lord already said this. Man is to rule over God's creation. But we don't appreciate that. We just say, oh, I sinned, so Lord, forgive me. May your precious blood just cleanse me of my sins. I need salvation. As long as I come to the meetings, it's fine. And I read the Bible, it's not bad. Of course you have to read the Bible. But what is your ultimate goal? Are you prepared? Will you be able to enter in? Do not think that the Lord Jesus will say to you, oh, welcome you all. If the Lord does not know you, if you do not draw near to him and you don't have this intimate relationship with him, the Lord is going to ask you, who are you? I do not know you. Oh, I'm in the church in Bangkok. I know how to sing. Tell me, won't the Lord say to you, who are you? That is why the gospel is not just about the Lord's first coming. Much more that he is coming again the second time. The first time he came, he was very humble. He brought in salvation. He suffered and he was nailed to the cross. He was the Lamb of God. He is the sin offering. He was silent. But But when he comes a second time, he's bringing his army with him. His army, his host, he's coming to fight. In Revelation chapter 19, he'll be seated on the white horse. And behind him is his host, his army. Are you a part of his army? Now tell me, as part of the army, is it easy to go to war? In Singapore, is it easy for you to be in the military? Huh? Is it easy? You need to be trained. You're willing to suffer. Yep. You have to survive. Even in terrible conditions, you still have to be trained and learn. You can't say, oh, I want to go home. I'm tired. Is that so? I don't know if you were ever in the army. Yes, he said. Wow. I have to ask a second question. Whose army, whose soldier were you? Were you a soldier from Bangkok, or are you a heavenly soldier? In Psalm 110, God needs his Zion. And he needs the rod of his strength to come out of Zion. Without his Zion, how is the Lord going to fight? Let's read it together. It's Psalm 110. Brother, why don't you read it for us in Chinese? Also, it's enough to read verse 3, Psalm 110, verse 3. Your people shall be volunteers. Let's start with verse 1, verses 1 through 3. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Verse 2. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Verse 3. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning you have the dew of your youth. And in Chinese it also says, willing to sacrifice yourselves. That's good enough. They're reading in Thai. Amen. Do not think that the Lord Jesus wants to go fight all by himself. He needs his kingdom and he also needs his army of volunteers. That's why verse 3 says, yes, he says, in the day of his power, in Chinese, it says that, you know, in the day of his army. Don't you have an army in Thailand? Do you have it in the Philippines? Yes, each country has its army. Be prepared for battle. We only have brothers and sisters, but we don't have an army. Right? Yonah, are you a brother or are you a soldier? Paul told Timothy, to be a warrior, to fight. Now, in Thailand, do you have a spiritual army? Oh, Brother Vera is laughing. It's not that simple. Brothers and sisters, we are just being the church, the church, the church, and nobody cares for the kingdom or Zion. It's a city of a living God. And Hebrews chapter 11 says, we're waiting for the heavenly Jerusalem. It's only the Lord himself can build this heavenly Jerusalem. I often ask the Lord, I am an earthly person. How can I build a heavenly Jerusalem? Actually, we should all be heavenly citizens. You're born again. You're a child of God. Are you still a German there, Yona? You're not a German? That's strange. But you do look like a German. Now, what is your nationality? Citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. You're right. He said he's Tengwaren. But how many people in Germany have such a thought or a mindset like you? Oh Lord. That is why many times I don't know how to share concerning the Lord's coming. People are just sitting around waiting. Oh, the Lord is coming. They've been waiting a long time. It's like, how come he's still not coming? Just like Peter. He said, You said that the Lord is coming. It's been so long. You're lying to me. Are you deceiving me? Oh, Lord Jesus. May the Lord really open our inner eyes so that we truly understand the eternal purpose of God, what God actually wants to do. So when the Lord Jesus rose again, he stayed on the earth for 40 days. Oh, Brother Santi, what did the Lord Jesus speak about in those 40 days? For 40 days, he was talking about the kingdom. How about you? For 40 days, what have you been talking about? And the church in Bangkok for 40 years, what have you been talking about? You're talking about the kingdom? A little? I know you're going to say, a little bit. Just that little. Now, if the kingdom is so important to you, how come you just speak so little about it? It's because our vision is not enough. We just talk about church, church, church. And in the end, we talk about the oneness. And we're fighting on the ground of oneness. Isn't this the case? Today, I asked the brothers and sisters in Myanmar. Oh, and he said, how is it going on in Myanmar? He said, there's fighting. He said, who is fighting whom? He said, we're fighting among ourselves. I said, why would you be fighting amongst yourselves? When I heard it, I thought, oh, it sounds like we're like this too. We're all so like this. Isn't it pathetic? Aren't we pathetic? You're waiting for the Lord's coming. Are you just sitting there and waiting like this? Are you waiting for the Lord's coming just like this? No. Today, our Lord is training us to be in His army, to be put on the white garment. It's a holy. It's holy. It's living. Revelation chapter 19. We're all emphasize that the bride has made herself ready with a white, fine white linen. Right? That's the first half. That's the marriage feast of the Lamb has come. And the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. That's very good. But the second half of the chapter is about the war. The strange thing is that the uniform of the soldiers is the same as the wedding garment of the bride. It's the same. Did they forget to change or what? On one hand, we're the bride. On the other hand, we're the army. We're in war, fighting. There's no difference. Just like what it says in the book of Ephesians. The first part is a bride. Chapter 5, it's a bride. The church is a bride of Christ. And chapter 6, we're Christ's army. No difference. When you're mature in your spiritual life, there's no way that you won't be fighting the battle. Not that you're arguing and fighting, but you're fighting against the enemy, resisting the devil. It's see, Revelation 19 shows us, if you don't fight today, when the Lord Jesus comes, you won't be qualified to join his army. Do you want to join the army, Yona? Are you drafted? We have more of this.
Yeah. Yona has all of
it. Yeah. If you're in the army, then you would know how to prepare for the Lord's coming. In the early days, all the apostles were waiting for the Lord's coming. They all thought that the Lord would come in their time. So, doesn't matter whether it was Paul, Peter, John, James, they all said that the Lord is coming. He's at the door. Even the Lord Jesus himself said, I am coming quickly. And we're still like slow pokes. Oh, no, when is he coming? It's been 2,000 years. Tell me, was the Lord Jesus deceiving them? Lord Jesus. And that is why I hope that the brothers and sisters would understand. If you were present in those days when the disciples asked the Lord, when are you coming again? And the Lord would have said, it won't be so fast. Maybe 2,000 years later. Do you think the apostles were still bright and says, the Lord is coming quickly? They wouldn't even write it down. They wouldn't have written it, right? He's coming back in 2,000 years. Oh, forget it. We don't have to talk about it. The Lord says, nobody knows. This is the Lord's wisdom. He says, nobody knows except my Father in heaven. But actually, in a normal Christian life, it should be one is waiting for the Lord's coming all through the ages. All who love the Lord, all the people who love the Lord, we're all looking to the coming of the Lord and waiting for the coming of the Lord. Are you waiting? You have to prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Are you well prepared? If he may delay, but you and I don't know when we're going. He may not be coming, but we may be leaving. We may be going. That is why I really like Amos chapter 4. He says, prepare to meet your God. Amos 4:12. It's chapter 4, verse 12. It's verse 12, not 15. Yeah. Therefore, thus will I do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. Prepare to meet your God. Besides, this word was to warn them, because if you are ready to meet God, aren't you going to repent? How are you going to give an account? That is why the Lord will come quickly. And every apostle said the same thing, especially John. He's coming quickly. He's at the door. He's at the door. This is a very important part of our faith. Besides, in our age, in our days, he truly is coming quickly. Look at all the signs of the times. Look at all the happenings in the world today. If you understand Daniel chapter 2, the figure that Nebuchadnezzar dreamt of, that image, it describes the entire history of humankind from the Babylonian Empire until today. In the very end, at the time of the toes, there's a stone that comes down from heaven, not made by man, that will fall on the feet, and the entire image would just collapse. From the Babylonian Empire until today, until the U.S. today. This is the age of democracy, where it's iron mixed with clay. It's people power, democracy. This word means to say it's the power of the people. It's the two parts of the word demos and kratos. Right now, we're coming to the end. The United States was the beginning of democracy. It's the one country that is truly democratic, but now it's a mess. Following that is the ten toes. That is the time when the beast will come. John said, you have heard that the Antichrist has come. He's referring to the beast. But there are lots of little Antichrist were already around in his days. Today, there's much more. At the time of John the Apostle, he already said there were many Antichrists. Now, 2,000 years later, would there be less? Lord Jesus, we need to see. The time is here. The time is here. In 2015, the Lord already told us. According to what is written in the book of Daniel, democracy has come to an end, right? You people who are in Germany, you know about that. It's the end of democracy, right? It's not that the Lord is going to come right away. The Lord said, if the nation of Israel would be restored, it's like the fig tree that would come to blossom again. That means it's coming. The Lord, then people would say, oh, it's from 1948 up until now. It's over 70 years, but the Lord is still not here. But at that time, the Lord was preparing to come. And in 1967, in the Six-Day War, Jerusalem was returned to the rule of Israel. And in Matthew chapter 21, it says, I'm sorry, Luke chapter 21 says, at that time, the age of the nations, the age of the Gentiles, the age of the nations is over. That means the coming of the Lord is even nearer now. That's why, brothers and sisters, you need to know that it's very near. And in Daniel chapter 9, for Daniel chapter 9, let's just say it in a brief way, he who is coming, he said he will make a covenant with many, but it didn't say many what. You all heard about the Abraham Accord. Isn't it strange? They named it an Abraham Accord. That's what Trump achieved. Besides, that president also declared that Jerusalem is the eternal capital of Israel. Now you all know about it. That the Israelites or the Jews want to rebuild the temple. They call it the third temple. Because the first one was built by Solomon. It was built through Solomon. But then it was destroyed. And then came the Babylonian kingdom. So at the time of Ezra, they returned from Babylon and they rebuilt the temple. Now they want to build it for a third time, especially now. They are really fired up to rebuild the temple. But everybody knows the Jews, the Israelites, they also want to start offering sacrifices again. They're really fired up for this. Especially the Orthodox Jews. But in order to recover the offering of sacrifices, they need the ashes of the red heifer. Based on Numbers chapter 19. It's been 2,000 years they haven't gotten a red heifer. But last year, from Texas and in the U.S., there was a Christian who was a farmer. He raised cows. Along with some others, they were able to raise 5 red heifers without any blemish. Red heifers. So last year on September 15th, they were shipped to Jerusalem. They're air freighted, actually. But one has already been disqualified because it has grown some hairs of another color. At least one of them has already turned 2 and is still without any blemish. Now, it depends on the will of the Lord when it would be sacrificed and the ashes of the red heifer would be gathered. Many Christians in the U.S. are talking about this today. There's lots of talk about this. Before, nobody mentions it, but now many are mentioning this. And now, of course, there's a war in Israel, a fierce battle. Now tell me, how much longer do we have to wait? Are we going to wait for another 200 years? 20 years? The former president, Trump, is still quite much in power. He said that when we wait till 2024, the United States will be gone. The United States as we know it will be gone. People have that inner sense. Don't think you still have to wait for a long, long time. There's a couple from the U.S., Xinhua. He came from Alabama. Tell me, how is the situation in the U.S.? Right now, it's really lawless. It's a confusion. It's in a very confused state right now. A big mess. I don't need to say too much, but I would like for the brothers and sisters to wake up inwardly. Do not think that we still have a lot of time. It's like in the days of Noah. Noah said, the flood is coming. And everybody's looking around. Oh, the weather's so good. The sky is blue, there's no rain, the sun is still there. Nobody believed him. They were eating and drinking and making merry. You live in Thailand. Oh, life is quite good, no? Brother Guangrong, isn't it so? No problems. Is there any fighting here? Oh, it's a small matter. Everybody is living a good life. And you tell me the Lord is coming? When I went to South Korea, where they live, it was so peaceful. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not a mess like in the U.S. So if you want to tell them the Lord is coming, I think nobody will believe that. But if the ark was built, suddenly the downpour would come, rain would come. It came suddenly. That is why in Thessalonians chapter 2 it said, everybody was talking about peace and security. Peace and security.
That's in 1 Thessalonians.
1 Thessalonians 2. Suddenly, disaster came. When you are not thinking of it, suddenly it would come upon you. I feel that today I should fellowship with you concerning this point. Because the day of the Lord's coming is very near. Many people do not believe this. But whether you believe it or not, or either way, the Lord is coming again. It's not that if you don't believe it, He's not coming. No, even if you don't believe it, He is coming again. We need to learn from the early apostles. Their attitude was, the Lord is coming quickly. His day is near. He's at the door. The Lord will not delay His coming. He's coming quickly. In Revelation, the Lord said, I am coming quickly. It's now. Especially now. From Adam to Abraham, it's 2,000 years. From Abraham to the first coming of the Lord Jesus was another 2,000 years. And from the Lord's first coming until now, it's been 2,000 years also. Now tell me, isn't the last 1,000 year coming very soon? God gave mankind 6,000 years to rule this earth. Did they do a good job? That is why at the 7,000 year, the Lord's kingdom, God's kingdom will come. It's a kingdom of peace. The true king, the king of righteousness, the king of peace, a great high priest, the king of kings, he will come. Are you prepared? Be prepared. Repent. If you're wrong, you repent. Okay. Pursue the Lord and experience Him. Be a priest. Because this is the will of God. It's the same as in Exodus 19, and the same is what is said in Revelation. He wants to gain a kingdom of priests. Revelations chapter 1 and 5 say the same thing. Because God's will never changes. He's not like us. We change back and forth all the time. God wants to gain a kingdom of priests. 1 Peter chapter 2 also tells us the church is built by living stones to build up a spiritual temple, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Do you want this? You decide for yourselves. I'm just telling you this word. The time is up. Amen. Tomorrow would be the last day. Thank you.